Proverbs 31, everyone, in your Bibles. So, all right, Proverbs 31. All right, we got to Zoom. So you can get out. How many of you are taking someone out to dinner today? Only five. How many of you are smarter and realize don't go out on Mother's Day to eat? Yeah. Proverbs 31. So Proverbs 31 is a chapter, and it is, starting in verse 10, it's all these characteristics of a godly woman. And we'll get to there. It's probably written by a woman, so I don't want anyone coming to me and say, this was written by some man. No, it wasn't. It was written by a woman to her son. And she's warning her son, first of all, to watch out for bad women. So, like, if you look at chapter 31, verse 1, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. And so this is what his mother said to him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. So, son, be very careful of women, okay? They can destroy you. But then we believe in verse 10, she says, now here's the type of woman, starting in verse 10 to the end of the chapter, this is the type of woman you want to find. But I need to warn you, son, that to find a woman like this is very difficult. They're like rubies, hard to find. So verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. So this is the type of woman. And, you know, these noble women who are worth far more than rubies, I think every Sunday these noble women show up to worship their God. That Sunday is a gathering of all the rubies. I got 16 characteristics, so let's go through them fast as we go through the verses here. Characteristic number one of a godly woman is that she is trustworthy. She is trustworthy. She's an amazing wife. Verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her. He lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. It's amazing how women just are there. They're helpmates. Unless a man really takes advantage of it, they're there to help us, and they want to do good all the days of our life. Amazing women. Number two, a godly woman is energetic. All right? And I see that, like, in verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. I see it in verse 17. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. Okay? And I can see it just in different places. She's energetic. She's working. As my wife says, I wanted to sit down yesterday. It was Saturday. Had a funeral. Just wanted to take a break. And she was like, a woman's work is never done. I'm like, dear, as soon as you're done cleaning the house, cooking my meal, I mean, you should take... All right, I'm getting in trouble here. Number three, a godly woman shops for deals. It's actually biblical, women, for you to go shopping, okay? Men are allergic to shopping. Okay, so verse 14. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She goes out. If it wasn't for our women liking shopping, we would not have any food, clothing, decorations in the house, and clothes and anything else, okay? So praise God that they like going shopping. And they even like to travel afar. I got a 50-cent coupon. I'm going to travel 50 miles to get that special coupon deal. Oh, praise the Lord for a godly woman has a brain. Now, there isn't any specific verse that says she has a brain. But as you read through all of these descriptions, it's very clear that this woman that is more rare than rubies is amazing. Now, I have a couple sayings here. You see a lot of smart guys with dumb women, but you hardly ever see a smart woman with a dumb guy. How many of us men have smart women? Yeah, see, that's good for us. All right. A beautiful woman is a beautiful woman, but a beautiful woman with a brain is an absolutely lethal combination. I love that. And I will get back to that later on. The godly woman, number five, is financially savvy. So look at this. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. She's a realtor. She's into investing in real estate. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She makes money. She's got a job. She's and she's planting a vineyard, which is investing for future crops. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable. She's I'm imagining she's a stock trader. She's buying and investing in stocks. And her lamp does not go out at night. She's on the internet at night trading. Okay. Let's see, where else? I see that verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. So she's just financially savvy. I just read that. I think almost 60% of all the wealth in the United States is held by women. And women are very financially, they can invest, they can, they often help with the household budget and paying the bills. And so, godly woman is financially savvy. Number six, a godly woman is creative. So I see this in different places, but in like verse 19, it says, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. It's talking about sewing. She's sewing and making clothing. In verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen. So, you know, she's making different things and she's creative. Now, I just read, it's funny, that CEOs of companies are now looking for one of the top characteristics they're looking for in workers is creative workers. They believe it is now creativity that will take companies to their new levels. Albert Einstein said this about creativity. I love this. I just like, wow. Creativity, intelligence, having fun. I just, do you find how women are so creative and they can make things and do crafts and arts and they're designers and they work on our homes and painting and all that stuff. And I'm like, it's intelligence having fun. A godly woman is compassionate. Number seven. In verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's not just living for herself. She helps other people out. She cares about the people that are going through tough times. Number eight, the godly woman is prepared. In verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She's prepared. She thinks ahead. I'm glad my wife is working on Kevin's graduation party, which I'm good because I'm kind of like, let's just, whoever shows up and worry about food. I don't know, go to McDonald's or something, you know. But fortunately, my wife is prepared and plans and administrates the stuff around the home. Ninth, a godly woman likes to dress nice. And I see that in verse 22. She makes coverings for her bed, so she likes to have a nice, bedroom for her husband, and is clothed in fine linen and purple. She's sewing, she's making outfits, she's buying outfits. As I said to my wife, we can go to the mall. There's 1.5 stores for men clothing, and there's 45 stores for the women. There's something, and women have been wanting to look nice for their husbands for 3,000 years since this has been written. And in some sense, nothing has really changed. Tenth, a godly woman enhances her husband's reputation. I like this. Behind every successful man is a wife and a surprised mother-in-law, right? That's why the wife, you got to be successful. I got to prove mom that she was wrong when she said I shouldn't marry you. Okay. So a godly woman enhances her husband's reputation. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. I like this. The guy's like loafing with the other men. while the wife's trading, cooking, sewing, running the household, investing, doing it all. Okay. Number 11. Oh, I like this. I saw this saying when I was working on the sermon this week. I just thought, this is profound. Every man needs a woman when his life is in a mess, because just like in the game of chess, the queen protects the king. And I couldn't, in the other services, it was amazing how many husbands says, my wife hung in there. My wife helped me. I went bankrupt or we lost, and she stayed in there and she put the pieces back together. And it's praise the Lord for the queens. The godly woman, 11, is a woman of great character. So verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. It's kind of talking about her character. And then back in verse 10 again, it says, a wife of noble character. A noble is someone that's, nobility. A wife of noble character. She just reflects good character, the character of Jesus, her love, her joy, her peace, her kindness, her goodness, her faithfulness, her gentleness, her self-control. Now, there's a verse in the Bible. It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's what? And the answer is in Proverbs 12:4. If you're married to a wife of noble character, in Proverbs 12:4, what does it say that wife is for her husband? Everyone's looking. What is it? It is the husband's crown. So I was saying to myself, it really is true that every man can be king in his own castle, so to speak. But what's better is I know people over in Europe wear, those crowns like that. I'm thinking to myself, we have something even better than crowns, the wives that God has given us. I could get, if you could take all my earthly stuff away, but if I have my wife, I have it all. I mean, she is the crown to my life. So, number 12, a godly woman has a sense of humor. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. So she seems proper, has this good character, but she can laugh at the days to come. Even if it looks tough or rough, she has a sense of humor. She can laugh at the days to come. Number 13, a godly woman is a woman of wisdom. In verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's into the Word of God. She homeschools the kids. I know people talk today like, well, that's so weird that you're homeschooling your children instead of sending them to public school. May I suggest to you that for thousands and thousands of years, women always homeschool their kids. It's only in the last couple hundred years that public school has existed. But even when you send your kids to public school, I knew very well that my wife was homeschooling as well from the Word of God and from her example. 14th, the godly woman is not lazy. Although I would love to, what are those things called? A Segway. And I've been on my daughter for my birthday? You got me a Segway certificate and I drove a Segway around Pittsburgh. It was fun. Expensive. I'm glad. Thank you. Because I'm too frugal to pay for something like that. But they're fun. Okay. So that's in verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's a woman's work is never done. 15, a godly woman does noble things. That's down in verse 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And number 16, the last one I have here, is a godly woman fears the Lord. Now, I want you to look at this one a little bit. So in verse 30, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I want to suggest to you that we are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And so I want to suggest to you that the charm that a woman has is talking about her soul. The charm is her intelligence. The charm is her niceness and kindness and the way she handles herself. That's her soul. That's her brain and her heart. So charm. And then you got the beauty. That's the physical. That's the body. So there are some women who, you know, they have a soul and they take care of themselves physically. But the third ingredient is what is, to me, what changes a woman into something so wonderful and rare like a ruby and a diamond, and that is the woman who fears the Lord, that has a spiritual side to her. So you guys know what a diamond is. You have diamonds, and then you have what's known as fake diamonds. Fake diamonds are known as cubic zirconiums. Now, how can you tell a real diamond from a cubic zirconium? That's a fake diamond. How do jewelers tell the difference? You can cut glass with diamonds, but it's the brilliance. Out of a real diamond, the light is reflected, and there's a certain color and brilliance that comes out of it that does not come out of a cubic zirconium. Pastor Jeff says he doesn't need the thing. He says people in the church always come up to him and says, well, Pastor Jeff, what do you think? And he knows right away. And he says most of the time they know, but occasionally, like, this is what my husband got me. What do you know, is it a real diamond or not? And he's like, oh, great. So, like, he knows just by looking, by the brilliance that comes out, if it's a fake or if it's real. To me, the woman that has the Lord in her heart, that's the real diamond. That's the, you know, the brilliance of Jesus comes out of their life. It's what makes, so there are many women that are very smart. They have great charm and they have good looks, but they don't fear the Lord. They're missing Jesus, and it's deceptive. Because as you get older, that all fades away and you lose it. But what lasts forever, what really gives a woman the beauty in her later years is a woman who fears the Lord. Now, there is another difference when you take an eyepiece to a diamond and a cubic zirconium. Does anyone know what the other difference is? All diamonds have something that cubic zirconiums do not have. Flaws. Diamonds have flaws in them. Cubic zirconiums have no flaws. So they actually look, when they look at them, they look for flaws to know if it's a real diamond. So that got me. I mean, I was thinking, women, we love the women, but we know we're all sinful people, right? We all have flaws. I think it's when a woman realizes that she has flaws in her life that keeps her humble. When a woman doesn't think she has any flaws, that's a very prideful woman who is going to realize, you know, you need a savior. I think it's the flaws in our life that helps us to cry out to God, because in our weakness, God's strength is manifested. It's something, I think God uses those flaws as special things. Now, just to let you know about the flaws, men, jewelers can hit the diamonds at the flaws and destroy them. A jeweler can spot where those flaws are, and with his chisel or whatever, he can destroy the diamond and crumble it. And I think all husbands, you can know your wife's flaws. I'm sure if I said, hey, you know, instead of praising your wife, I know some of you men, well, you know, she's got a couple of flaws. Yeah. You can destroy your wife if you want to. I don't recommend it. And I think that's awful when you do that. And I think some men do that. They're precious diamonds. They, you know, strengthen and bless them. And we all have flaws. Well, four things a godly woman is to be given. First, blessings from the children. So hopefully all the children are calling their moms today. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. And then it says, her husband also, and he praises her. Praise from her husband. So for 30 some years, I've been having the women come up and saying, you know, why they like being a mother and this and that. And I was thinking, wait a second, we're doing it all wrong. For Mother's Day, it says the husbands praise her. So I thought we would do some on-the-job training where I would have you men come up and give you a shot to learn how to praise the woman you're married to. See, I've been around long enough to know when I would hang out with guys at work or whatever, often the guys would get into a pity party of who had the worst wife. And they'd go around, oh, my wife, she won't make me my lunch. My wife won't go to bed. Well, you know, my wife won't, you know, she spends all the money shopping. And they just go around and trying to top each other about the flaws in their wives, right? The flaws. Comes around to me. I got an amazing wife. She is great. Well, wait a second. So do I. Yeah, I know she has. She is really wonderful. No, my wife's the best. No, my wife is. And all this, it's amazing how one guy can change the conversation about who's got the worst wife to who has now the best wife. So men, your wives deserve your praise for being what amazing wives. And you know, most of us, we're married to rubies. I would guess that 99% of the women here, this is describing them right here. So then the last verse of Proverbs 31, the last verse, and there's two ways to interpret it. The last verse says, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Some believe, well, that's the husband. Here's some money. You deserve it. Go buy something for yourself. And the husband's praising her at the city gate with the other elders. That's one way to interpret it. The other way is that this is talking about when that godly woman goes to heaven. And when she goes to heaven, this is the Lord speaking. The Lord says, give her the reward she has earned. This woman has been a woman who feared God. This is a woman who served others. This was a woman who was so faithful to her husband. This is a woman of wisdom. This is a woman who raised kids and did so much stuff. Give her the reward she deserves and give her the praise at the city gate. The city gate's not the gate of the earthly city. It's the gate at the city of Jerusalem when a woman finally gets into the presence of God. And Jesus is there and says, woman, you have been amazing. And he, not only your reward, but just thank you for being such a godly woman. We thank you, women, for being godly women. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wives you've given us. We thank you for the mothers that have given us birth. We thank you for our grandmothers. We thank you for all the women who may not biologically be our mother, but yet have been like moms to us, spiritual moms, caring, loving moms. And Lord, today we honor the women of our church. We know that their reward will be great, for they put up with us and they do so much for the cause of Jesus Christ and for all of our homes and for all of our children. We honor them in your name. Amen.